The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, November 11th, 2018.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you. It is good to be in the house this morning. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. May God's grace fill us. May His peace sustain us. May His mercy encourage us. May His presence guide us. And may His Spirit inspire us. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, we truly thank You on this Veterans Day Sunday that we are still one nation under God. But Father, may our hearts show that to our neighbors, to our communities, and to the world. May we exemplify one nation under God. May You lead us in this time of worship. May we follow in this time of service for us as Christians. May we truly worship You now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I wish you would stand and join me with a pledge of allegiance to the flag of our country, followed by Psalm 42. Let us pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Join me now in Psalm 142 as we remain standing. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for You, O God. Soul thirst for God, for living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God? Least I remember, as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, whom again I shall praise, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember You. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mazar, calls me deep. At the thunder of Your catches, all Your waves and Your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night God's song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have You forgotten me? Why do I mourn because of the oppression of the enemy? Like a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me. They say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, whom again I shall praise, my help and my God.
Today our reading is Mark 12, 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last week we talked about the good scribe. We had this incident with Jesus and the scribe, and they were talking about the commandments and which is the greater of them. You can kind of back up and look at that. And Jesus finally says to that scribe, "You are very near to the kingdom of God." In other words, you've almost got it. There was one thing you lacked, and maybe he would get it later. We don't know. But anyway, he knew the law, but he knew the spirit of the law. He knew the word of God and what the word of God meant. And then we come across, we have a little incident with the Pharisees there above us. And then we come down to another incident, but this time it is important to notice that Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching, and it says he taught. He taught. So Jesus is going to tell them to be watch out for certain kinds of scribes. Not all of them, but certain ones. And he's going to give them some attributes to watch out for, some signs, if you will, to observe and to watch out for those. But Jesus is doing what Andre Reznor told us when I was in preaching school. It was funny, I did preaching school and in my undergraduate degree as an elective, and then in my master's degree, I had to do it again. And I'd already preaching for 15 years by then, you know. You're taking a preaching class, but you just be amazed what you can learn if you let yourself. Andre Reznor said, every time you make a theological assertion, you must also have a theological concretization. Don't you just love it when they use terms like that? They're useless, aren't they? In other words, when you tell them that something is, then you need to show them it is. In other words, you got to prove it. You got to put it in concrete, a concretization. And Jesus is the best teacher. He's the best teacher we know, and this is an incident of a good teacher. So notice he talks about some of the attributes of these scribes. Now, you need to realize that the scribes really had the power in Jesus' day and in the Jewish religion. They knew the word, they kept the word, they guarded the word, and they metered it out and told the Pharisees and the Sadducees what it meant. They had the real power. They held the key. You know, there are some people who are just puppets, you know. They don't have any power, but to be able to have power are pulling the strings. These scribes had the power. So they had the power. They liked to walk around in long robes. Did you see that? Dressed very nicely. I tried to get Greg to let me buy him some clothes this morning. I told him he was looking sharp, and Greg always looks sharp. He's a sharp dresser, not the only one, but I was picking on Greg, and I started leaving, and he said, "I don't want a collar." Darn, you know. Anyway, so don't walk around in the, they walk around in the long robes, and they say long prayers because they want to be heard, and they want the best seats at the banquets. You know, it was an honor to invite them to your parties, but they didn't just expect to attend. They expected to be the guest of honor, despite who might have really been the guest. They wanted the best places. You had to serve them first. They had to sit at the head table, even if it meant a family member not getting to.
They wanted the best seats. They wanted to be recognized in the marketplace. In other words, they wanted people to pay them homage as they just walked around buying fruits and vegetables. Oh, no. Don't you think for a minute that they would stoop so low as to buy their own fruit and vegetables. They would actually point at it, and it would have to be delivered to them. Now, you need to remember, these scribes, these Sadducees and these Pharisees didn't really work. They lived off the contributions to the temple, to the synagogue. And the synagogue and the temple, the place where the scribes, the Pharisees, Sadducees all hung out and worked, were supported by offerings. So Jesus says, beware of this kind of scribe, for they devour widows' houses. And then he says, let me show you what I mean. Well, he didn't say that, did he? It says, and then Jesus was over at the temple, and he was sitting across from the treasury. Now, the treasury in the Jewish temple was a long cylinder. There were two of them. It was a long cylinder, and it had metal in it. And the metal was actually tiered, small at the bottom and had shelves as it came up. And they had to give their money as they came in. If they didn't put some money in, they couldn't go in. So remember, folding money hadn't been invented yet. It was all coinage. So they would come in and they would give large sums of money, and it was a show. They would take it from their money bags and drop it. Ka-ting, 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 ka-ting. Ka-ting, 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 ka-ting. And everybody would notice that all that coinage, you know, it was a lot going in there. And Jesus says, and some gave a lot. But now the little widow shows up, and she's got two copper coins worth a penny. Literally today in our money. One little Lincoln, one little copper penny. Now, I bet that little woman didn't go up there and drop that money in to make a loud sound. I bet she just kind of went by there and eased it in. What do you want to bet? I mean, think about it. Just think about it for a minute. I mean, if you've been in the line because they took their time and they were being watched by the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and you're that little woman, and she just puts her two copper coins in. I bet she slid them and hoped they'd just slide down the inside, don't you? And not make any noise. And I got news for you, copper didn't make much. But I want you to notice, Jesus noticed the big givers and the little giver. But remember, he's teaching. He needs a concretization. He needs to prove what he's told them about these scribes who devour widows' houses. And there's a comma at that last verse in there, which was all she had. There was no more. In other words, her home was gone, and all of her resources had been taken. And the last of what she had was taken too, by the very people that God had commanded should take care of her, the church. You see, in Jewish custom, God commanded that there be two classes of people be taken care of. Who were they? Widows and orphans. That was the role of the church. That was one of the things with which they were charged. Does it look like they were doing it? You see, now the woman would become homeless. For in the Greek, it is literally all she has. She would leave that synagogue. She would never be able to come back because she had nothing to give. She would go out in the street, for she had nowhere to live. And widows had no resources other than handouts or giveouts in that time and in that day. And Jesus notices her small gift and compares it to those who had gave much. And he said, she has given more than all of them. She has given more. Well, let's look at that. I've heard this used as a tithing sermon. And I bet you're scared to death that's what I'm fixing to do, aren't you? Methodists get afraid when you start talking about money. I've noticed that Methodists, that they when you talk about money, they move over on their left hip. So you can't get to the wallet. And women pull their pocketbooks up and get them under their arms. It makes Methodists nervous talking about money. I don't know why M&M, Methodist and money, it should go together. But maybe it don't. You're scared now for sure, aren't you? He's buttering us up. He's going to drop the bomb. How in the world could that woman's two little copper coins be more than all those other people that put in there? Simply because she gave out of all that she had, and they give out a sum of what they had. You know, it's kind of like church people sometimes today. They give what they think the church deserves out of what they've got left. But she didn't. Her purpose was to honor God's call in her life to support, to give, and to help. To give the last of what she had to the very place that she knew God had called to do good into the community. To take care of the widows and orphans. She wanted to be a part of something. So she just wasn't giving it so she could go die. She was giving of all she had so that the ministry of the church, she believed in it, could go forward. The others were just putting something in for a show. The others were just giving a token out of what they've got. They were making a show out of what they were giving. But she was giving out of love and out of gratitude, out of dedication. She was giving, and what she gave weighed more than everything else that had fallen in that metal basket up to that point. And Jesus said, beware of the fakeness, of the hollowness. Church, we need to be there today and beware of fake and hollow. To be aware of the fact that we could become shallow. To whom are we to be in ministry today? The church. It's in your bulletin, the church with a question mark. Who are we to be in ministry with today? It hasn't changed. It won't change. We're to be in ministry to the people who need and the people who want. Think so? You're thinking, that won't thing. I'm having trouble right there. How many of you are struggling with what I just said, won't? People that want stuff. It's kind of gotten to where it's got a little bad taste, don't it? Really, it does. You know, how many of you just got tired of people wanting everything? They want a free ride. They want you to give. Earn it. Work. Calluses on hands are not bad things. You know? Or an indention in your finger from pushing the pencil. It's not a bad thing. Do something. It's different. How about need? That's the guy down at Walmart with the sign, right? Maybe. The church is to be a ministry to two classes of people. And these are the two classes of people that the church can only minister to. There is no other two classes that we can reach as a church. We can only reach the ones that need and the ones that won't. Wesley would say the last, the least, and the lost. But the people who are in need are those who realize, first of all, that they need a Savior, that they need a Redeemer. And that they need grace, and that they need love, and that they need help, and they're willing to ask for it. They're willing to ask for it. It's the first group and the only group that we can touch. We can't touch anybody who don't realize they have a need. You can't tell somebody they have a need. They might punch you in the nose. But we can be in ministry to those who need, who realize they have a need. And we need to be in ministry to those people who want as well, who want to grow in their faith, who want to do the works that Christ calls them to do. Those who want to be a part of a Christian community, who want their lives changed, who want to do something for somebody else. So those are the two groups that we can minister to. The want would be us too, wouldn't it? We want to come to church. We want to have a church. We want to have a place. We want to have Bible studies for the women. We want to have Sunday school classes for people to attend. We want to have a children's church for the kids to go to. We want to have youth groups for the youth to come to. We want those things, and our kids want to be a part of those things. But there also is a need there, isn't there? The church needs to minister to those people. The church, what is the church? It's a twofold ministry to those in need and those in want, and not the way the society defines it. Though it may mean helping a drug addict. It may mean helping an alcoholic. I told them of a church that was built in Randleman, North Carolina. Does anybody know what Randleman, North Carolina is famous for? You bunch of Westerners. The home of Richard Petty, NASCAR legend. What is the matter? You people have no cultural exposure out here. I mean, I get out here and you don't know what sweet tea is, real sweet tea. And now you don't know the home of Richard Petty? Oh, my goodness. Well, there was a preacher that retired out there, and the city had a dump, and the dump needed to be cleaned up. So they cleaned up the dump. Well, nobody would buy that land. So this preacher weaseled in and got it. Somehow the city gave him 12 acres of old dump. Now, they had fixed it. They had compacted it. It was good land. But who wants to build on a dump site, even if it's been cleaned up? So this preacher took that free property. He built a church on that free property. He built that church with drunks and alcoholics and drug addicts. He built it with prostitutes and every other kind of vile character you could find. You know how he built it? He paid them $1 an hour to come and work on building that church. It took them 9 months to build that church. 9 months. And by the time the church was done, there was a congregation meeting in it of drunks and alcoholics and drug addicts and prostitutes who had came into a community, found love and grace, a common purpose. And the first Sunday they opened the doors of that church, he had 300 members built by the people. The society didn't want to bother. The ones in need. What might the church look like if we live into God's call for it? Wesley translated as the last, the least, and the lost. The church. That's us. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. We are the church. We've got mission groups that touch lives, scholarship committees that touch lives, Bible studies that are ongoing, Sunday schools ongoing, children's church that's ongoing, fellowship times and opportunities. But we can do more. We can reach those in need. And I'm going to bet you know somebody now that has the greatest need of all, love, grace, and mercy. But we can't reach anyone that don't know they have the need and want the change it brings. So, Father, this morning I would pray that we would reach out with love, grace, and mercy to the world around us. Father, that doesn't mean making it an easy road, but maybe it needs to be challenged. Father, it means that we've got to put skin in the game. It means that we've got to get involved and get our hands a little dirty. We've got to support it, participate in it, encourage it, and share it. We've got to be your church to the people in need. In many different ways, and to the people that want that relationship, hunger for that relationship.
And Father, may each one of us be a person in need and a person that wants, that we need you every day and want to be closer to you. May that be who we are, the church, that each one of us need and want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we go to share the love and grace of Jesus Christ by what we do and what we say. And may Christ go with us, bless us, and keep us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.